For preaching, so we ask that you would make your way to John chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, John 11, 3 and 4, and then I'm going to move to John chapter 5, verse 5 through 7, John 5, 5 through 7. I have no control over the weather, so what we're going to do is this CD is going to be available to all of the members of the church for free for the next 2 weeks. Everybody that belong to Southern need to hear this sermon right here. Everybody. Those of you who took English in school would say everybody, everyone. We say everybody need to hear this sermon. And so again, it will be free for the next 2 Sundays. Get with the media to pick up the CD. Make sure your members in your family know about the opportunity. John chapter 11, verse 3 and 4 says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus. That sounds like prayer. Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, isn't it good to know the Lord hear our prayers? Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, John chapter 5, verse 5 through 7, here's another sick man. That text says, John 5, 5 through 7, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learning that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? What an interesting question. If you think the question is interesting, listen to the man's response. Verse 7. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. I've come to talk about our sickness is not unto death. Would y'all repeat after me? Our sickness is not unto death. One more time with attitude now. Our sickness is not unto death. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to preach about. I couldn't wait to get this one out. I wonder, is it anybody here that believe that God is still able to turn sickness into life? Anybody here want to be well? Anybody want life in that more abundantly? The reason you ought to stay with the preacher today is because in this sermon, you're going to get some principles for how to cooperate with God in turning your sickness from death to life that brings glory to God. If you can stay with me, you can turn some stuff around in your life. The text that we have read, John chapter 11, rather familiar story of Lazarus, of how God raised him from sickness and indeed death. The other passage may not be as popular. John chapter 5 talks about how the Lord healed a man who had been sick for a long time, but the Lord was still able to turn it around. I want to suggest to us, by way of our thesis, that we should cooperate with God's turning our sickness into life. What is the pastor talking about? He said we should cooperate with God's turning our sickness into life. Now, the first of the 4 major points I want to talk about today, the first one is God's love. Somebody say God's love. It caught my preaching attention that in John chapter 11, verse 3, when the sisters sent word to Jesus, they appealed to Jesus' love for Lazarus. The text clearly says that The one, Lord, the one you love is sick. They did not call on the Lord because Lazarus was so good and deserving. They called on the Lord because they knew the Lord loved Lazarus. I got some good news for you. Not only does God love Lazarus, but God also loves SBC. I said God also loves SBC. Now, I feel compelled to tell you that God loves the universal church. That God doesn't just love Southern, but he loves all of his church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27 talks about husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Notice Christ loved the church, singular. This is not a reference to just the church in Ephesus. It's a reference to the whole universal church. The way we get in the universal church, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14, is we've all been baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. The way you and I get into the universal church is we accept Christ as our Savior. There is what's called this spiritual baptism into the body of Christ, into the universal church, and Christ loved the church. Praise the Lord. But closer to home now, not only does God love the universal church, God loves this local church. And I think it would be quite easy to find a whole mountain of evidence that God still loves us. From 1917 Sunday school mission in the home of Deacon and Sister Carter, all the way up to sweet 2016, the Lord has been blessing us. Any of my predecessors, from Reverend Jarrell all the way up to current day, sit us down and we all have stories of how the Lord keeps on loving us. Can I tell you right now today, in spite of our shortcomings, the Lord keeps on loving us. He speaks, and some accept Christ as their Savior. Right now today, the Lord speaks and helps people get through the grief of burying their loved ones. God speaks and gives us prayer power for our young people. God speaks and gives us a word to help us navigate the twists and turns of our life. God still speaks to those who have ears to hear and help us grow in our discipleship. Can anybody look at their life and see that you're growing? Can anybody see you're stronger today than you were on last year? I mean that you're still not all you should be. But can you look back over the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years of your life and see that I've been moving in the right direction? God still causes us to work together and learn how to love one another. Still allows us to put our 2 cents in the good work that he's doing in and through Southern. If the question was raised, why does God do all of this? The only answer we can give him is because the Lord loves SBC. Now, the reason you ought to be excited about that is because we are SBC. SBC is not the building. When God blesses Southern, he's not blessing the chandelier. He's not blessing the walls and the chairs. He's blessing the people. The love of God is not just good for church statistics and church accomplishments, but the love of God reaches every member of Southern. That means the love of God reaches your health, my mental well-being, your finances, my relationships, the legacy that we're trying to leave. The love of God keeps us safe in the midst of violence, keep us warm in the frigid cold. Somebody just repeat after me. God loves SBC, which includes me. Say it with attitude now. God loves SBC, which includes me. But now the text does not just talk about God's love. That's good stuff, but there's no verbs over there. The second point is our sickness. This second thing I'm talking about, our sickness. Notice that as much as God loved Lazarus, he still got sick. As much as God loved the man in John chapter 5, the man was sick. And can I tell you that as much as God loves SBC, there's some sickness in our church. I said there's some sickness in our church. And we got to spend some time diagnosing the sickness so we can appreciate the medicine that God has for us. Nobody goes to the doctor's office just to read the magazines. The only reason we go to the doctor's office is because we appreciate something is wrong with us. Help me understand, I'm trying to help us understand the nature of our sickness. Now, there could be quite a list. Let me at least put three ideas out there on your mind. One area of sickness is our worship service. Somebody say worship service. We got two problems here. One problem is attendance. The second is attitude. Stop making ugly faces at me. Attendance is the first concern. It is not healthy for 445 people to be voted in on the active roster 30 days ago. And then the average attendance is only 255 on Sunday morning. That means on any given Sunday, 40% of the active members of the church don't come to church. So it's not the people out on the street. We know why they're not here. The question becomes, how can you claim to be a member, fight to make sure your name is on the roster, and then don't come to church? Now, I know you would get a pass today because it's snowing in winter. However, last week it was 60 degrees outside. I don't think you can say it was too cold or too windy or too icy on last Sunday. And then once we get to worship, another sickness appears, and it is the sickness of our attitude in worship. Once we get here, it's too hard to get us who get here to worship in the worship service. Now, I know why we don't worship in the Sunday school class. I know why we don't worship in the church meeting. I know why we don't worship in the ushers meeting. But for the life of me, I don't know why it's so hard to get us to worship in the worship service. The book says we ought to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We ought to come into his courts with praise, and yet we come and sit here too many times as if nothing is going on. There were some who were more demonstrative about the Bengals losing than they were about Jesus winning. When the Bengals lost, at least you act like you had a pulse. When we come and talk about he got up early Sunday morning, you act like, oh, I heard that already. The cure for this illness is easy. It's just a matter of us coming to church and then worshiping once we get to the worship service. I'm building my case about our sickness. Not only worship, but retention is an area of sickness. We thank God that over these last 7 years, about 550 people have joined or reinstated. I thank God that every one of those people have heard a nice, clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that all of them received follow-up attention where we had accurate contact information. Thank God for that. But everybody can see that too many of them walk too quickly from the front door to the back door. It was too easy for them to just walk through the church instead of becoming attached to the church. And more important than them becoming attached to the church is the church becoming attached to them. It may border on criminal negligence for you to bring an infant baby into this world and tell the baby, if you need me, call me. But that's about what we do with babies in the church. The book talks about how you must be born again. You're not born as an adult, you're born as a baby. You drink milk before you get to meat. And too oftentimes our explanation of what happened with these people was, well, Reverend, they know where we at. If they need me, just they know how to come back over here. That's like laying an infant over here and telling the infant, if you need your milk, the milk is over there. And perhaps worse than the retention rate is our attitude about the retention rate. Instead of us saying, well, my God, Reverend, what can we do to help the people stick? We're much more concerned about, well, it ain't my fault. I don't work with the new members. It ain't my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Reverend, it's just not my fault. This is a strange attitude when you believe hell is hot. When you understand folk that's not in Jesus are going to hell, this is a strange attitude. Well, it ain't my fault. Instead of us trying to figure out who's to blame, perhaps our energy would be better spent on grabbing somebody. I know I'm a little crazy, but it looks like every man that joins the church, several men in church, without being appointed, the God within you ought to make you say, I want to make sure this brother stay in church. Every time a woman come join this church, the pastor ought not have to tell the women of the church to go grab this woman. You ought to just let the Spirit move you to go connect with this lady. The 30-some-year-old woman that joins ought to have the 30-some-year-old women in the church go make friends with this woman. The 50-some-year-old brother that joins the church ought to have the 50-some-year-old men in the church go make friends with this brother. This is a much healthier use of our energy than figuring out who's to blame. Here's the third area of sickness, and I have to spend time here so you can appreciate the doctor and the medicine that he prescribed. Got to have proper diagnosis in order to get the right medicine. Not only is there some sickness in worship, not only is there some sickness in retention, but perhaps the most alarming area of sickness is our attitude. Impatience, Pharisaic attitudes, all of that's a problem. But perhaps the greatest and the most alarming attitude is that of apathy. Just don't care. It's one thing to be sick and want to get well, but it's an altogether different level to be sick and I don't care about being sick. It's one thing to have infirm legs, legs that do not work. But it's another thing to say, it's not my fault that my legs don't work. It's another to say, I don't care about my legs not working. And I say to us as a church family that perhaps the biggest sickness is our apathetic, I don't care, indifferent attitude. Because everything else on the list can be fixed when you have a mind to do right. But when you don't even have a mind to do right, everything on the list becomes twice as hard. The cure for retention, I forgot to tell you, was to support this growth group movement. Help people get in relationship. The remedy, the cure for attitude is for you and I to grow up and fix our mind on the Lord instead of one another. The reason why we get ticked off and leave is not because of the Lord, it's because of one another. I get on your nerves and you say, well, I ain't gonna sing no more. I ain't gonna usher no more. I ain't come to church no more because I'm mad with him. And I say, well, you sitting up there like a bump on the log, so I ain't gonna preach no more. I ain't gonna sing no more. I ain't gonna pray no more. We all just go home. In both descriptions, nobody's talking about the Lord. What I'm suggesting to us is we all need to grow up and lift our heads up and remember who we serve. The reason we have an apathetic, I don't care attitude is because we're more focused on one another, the cares of this world, than we are on the Lord. You can't be focused on the Lord and talking about I don't care. You can't say, I gotta say thank you, and then come here talking about I don't care. That's inconsistent, unless you just singing a song. If you were worshiping through song, you can't worship and say, I gotta say thank you, and then sit through the rest of the worship like ain't nothing going on. Now, what you can do is just sing the song as if it is an entertaining selection at the concert. Now, if you just came here for the worship play, this is just the production, this is where you hang out, you just like the music, then I can see how you can sing the song and do nothing. But you can't mean the song. You can sing it, but you can't mean it and be apathetic. And the cure is not the pastor need to go get some holy oil and put an X on your forehead and knock you out in the middle of the aisle. Here's the solution. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Make up in your mind that this is 2016 and I can't waste this year with foolishness. I got to spend all of this time for the honor and glory of the Lord. Now, the reason you ought to pay me some mind is because we're in this body together. Romans 12:5 talks about how we're many members, but only one body. Cancer can show up in one lung today, but by the time you go back, the cancer can spread throughout the rest of the body. Don't nobody go around here talking about my lung got cancer. They say I got cancer because the lung is in my body. By the same token, when there's sickness in the church, because we are all in the same church, we have a vested interest in dealing with the sickness. Now, the truth being told, this ought not be such a hard point for you to understand. Because not only do we have problems in the church collectively, but everybody sitting up in here got some problems in your life. Ain't nobody as holy as we look. The book says that if we say we have no sin, we lie. And the truth is lie. That's not we made a mistake. It is we gave false information with the intent of deceiving. You know you got problems in your life, but you lie and say you don't have problems in your life. We all got something we are working on. And I'm suggesting to us the reason why we ought to work on it is because we're running out of time. Would y'all repeat after me? We have some sickness that needs attention. One more time. We have some sickness that needs attention. Come on to my third point now. I done told you that God loves us. I done told us about our sickness. Here's some good news. God can turn it around. As sick as Lazarus was, God turned it around. As sick as the man in John chapter 5 was, God turned it around. The man in John 5 was sick for 38 years, but that wasn't a problem for the Lord. Lazarus messed around and died, but that was not a problem for the Lord. How many of y'all know that God can turn things around? There's nothing broke in SBC that God cannot fix. There's no sickness here that God cannot heal. Now, we may doubt one another, but we ought to still believe that God is able. You may have your doubts about me. I may have my doubts about you, but we all ought to have confidence in the Lord. We all ought to believe that God is able to do more than we have envisioned. The 400 people that we envision being in transformative worship is something that God can do before breakfast. The 250 people that we envision growing in our growth groups is something that God can do before lunchtime. When you think about how great God is, 2,500 volunteer hours a year becomes a small number. When you think about how great God is, $30,000 a year given in donations become a small number. What I'm trying to get you to see is that God is still able to turn things around. And as I was praying about this part of the sermon, I think it was the Lord that suggested to me, like the Hebrew boy said, "O King, be it known unto you, if the Lord don't do what we expect him to do, we still not going to bow down to you. We still believe that God is able." Get this in your spirit now. If by chance God does not do what we expect him to do, it is not because God is unable to do it. It is because God sees that there is something better for his children. I can tell you from my own experience that God has provided perhaps more closed doors than open doors. And the reason he did it for me is because if I could go in all of the open doors, I would have went through the open doors. And if I would have went through the open door that I wasn't supposed to go through, I wouldn't have made it to the open door that had my name on it. So sometimes he got to limit my access by locking doors I don't have no business going through. And there's times in all of our life that we got to learn how to thank God for the no. Now, we know how to shout about the yes. We ask the Lord for something. He give it to us, and we say, "Lord, thank you for the yes." What the preacher is telling you, you got to learn how to thank God for the no. Because sometimes the no to good is so he can make a way for great. God can turn this thing around. Lest I assume too much, can I remind you that when God turns things around, he don't just turn around empty pews and empty religion. God can turn things around in your personal life. He can turn your family around is what I'm trying to say. He can turn your money around is what I'm trying to say. He can turn your health around is what I'm talking about. He can get your mind right. That's what I'm talking about. God can turn it around. Would y'all repeat after me? I know you're getting tired. Feel like y'all preaching the sermon, but help me one more time. God can still turn things around. I said, God can still turn things around. I'm coming in now. Here's my last piece. Do we want to be well? I done told you God loves us. Praise the Lord. I done told us we got some sickness. That wasn't all that entertaining, but it was true. I told you that God can turn things around. I got a couple of amens on that point. But here's the last piece of the sermon. This holds everything else together. Do we want to be well? I know this is a strange question, but it is the question that Jesus raised in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. The Lord says, he asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" When I was a younger preacher, I thought this was a strange question because in my naivete, in my ignorance, I just assumed everybody that's sick want to get well. How can you be sick and don't want to get well? I just assumed All sick people want to get well. But after 25 years of pastoring Black Baptists, I've learned to ask the question, do you want to be well? You would assume that when somebody bring you a problem, you assume they bring you the problem because they want to fix what's broke. Do you know there are some folk don't want to fix what's broke? They just want to talk about what's broke. They want to vent about what's broke, but they don't want to fix what's broke. When Jesus asked the man, do you want to be made whole? Notice the man never said yes. Come on, I'm not making it up. Is this part in your Bible? The Lord said, do you want to get well? The seventh verse said, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Is that yes or no? He said, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Is that yes or no? And that's like some of us. When the question is raised, do you want to be made well? Can we get a clean yes or a clean no? Well, this is my prayer. You know, we're in this season of prayer for these first 90 days. This is what I'm praying. First of all, I'm praying that God will bless us because of his love. What I love about John chapter 5 is that even though the man gave the wrong answer, it seems, the Lord healed him anyhow. I believe the Lord healed him anyhow because the Lord loved the unnamed man in John chapter 5. What I love about this sermon is that when Martha and Mary sent word to the Lord, they did not appeal to the Lord based on how good Lazarus was or how deserving he was. The Bible says, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. In other words, they wanted the Lord to heal Lazarus because of the Lord's love of Lazarus. And then Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, underscores the point that I'm trying to make. The Bible says in the NIV version of the Bible that the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths. Now, all of that is good stuff, but I really need you to focus in on the last four words of the third verse. They say, I do all of this for his name's sake. Can I get some help in here? The Lord is my shepherd for his own name's sake. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me by the quiet waters for his own name's sake. Yeah, he refreshes my soul and he guides me along the right path. Not because I deserve it, but for his own name's sake. Can I put it in your lap here? The Lord gives me grace because he is a gracious God. God shows love towards me because God is love. Isn't God all right? I don't want the Lord to bless me based on what I deserve. I need more than that. I don't want the Lord to bless me based on how good I've been. No, I want the Lord to bless me because of his love. I want the Lord to remember his plan for my life. I want the Lord to remember the treasure he's put into the clay pot of my life. I want the Lord to bless me because of the anointing that he's placed on a pile of dust. But that's not all. I want the Lord. Yes. I want him to remember the love for me. But then I also want the Lord to remember those he want to love through me. Yes, my Lord. Some of us are reading through the Bible. And so we've just finished reading about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, Lord. And if you have not read the Bible, you may have been surprised that Abraham had dirt in his life. Abraham, Isaac had dirt in his life. Jacob had dirt in his life. But look at God. God does not wipe Abraham out because of the sin in his life. I think some of that had to do with not only did God love Abraham, but I thank God thought about how much he wanted to do through Abraham's life. God knew if he wiped out Abraham, then how will we have Isaac? If God wiped out Isaac, then how will we get to Jacob? If God wiped out Jacob, then how will we have the 12 sons of Israel? If God wiped out Judah for Judah's sin, then how would we ever get to David? If God wiped out David, how would we ever have the son of David born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes? And so when I asked the Lord to remember his love, I don't only want the Lord to think about his love for me and his love for us, but I also want the Lord to remember what he does through us. Think about family members that are blessed because of us. Think about co-workers. Think about friends. Think about Avondale. Think about historic black colleges and universities that are blessed because of us. Think about homeless people that get a chance to eat because of us. Think about wells that have been dug in Zambia because of us. Think about people that got medicine in Haiti because of us. Lord, be merciful to us because of your love. That's one prayer that I pray. And then I pray, Lord, please bless us because of the faithfulness of a few. Can I have a minute here? Genesis chapter 18, verse 32. Y'all know that Abraham bargained with the Lord. God was angry with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham said, Lord, it's not fair to wipe out all of Sodom. Would you not be merciful if I could go find 50 righteous people? The Lord said, if you could find 50, I'd be merciful on the whole city. Yes, my Lord. And then Abraham said, thank you for the 50, but what about 40? Would you be merciful on behalf of 40? The Lord said, if you could find 40, I'd look the other way. Abraham said, I don't want to press my luck, but what about 20? If I could find 20 people, would you be merciful to the city? The Lord said, I'd look the other way. If you could find just 20 people, Abraham said, Lord, I know I'm trying your patience, but what about 10? If I could just find 10 righteous people, would you be merciful to the city? The Lord said, for the sake of 10, I'd go by them. And then the Lord left Abraham. The reason I pray for the Lord to honor the faithful few, because I just got to believe that there's 10 people in the room today that's trying your best to be in the faithful few. It got to be 10 people here that's doing the best that you can to honor the Lord with righteous living. There got to be 10 in the room today that's doing the best you can to support the vision. Somebody here is trying to pray and get God's attention. Somebody here is trying to be a consistent disciple of the Lord. Somebody here is trying to tell everybody how the Lord is still doing marvelous things in Southern Baptist Church. I told you on last week that if you want to make it through the storm and through the rain, you gotta trust and obey the word of the Lord. Anybody here
want the church to be well. Anybody here want to be in the faithful few? I got to come in now. But I love God because sometimes God allows sickness so we can appreciate the miracle of healing. Yes, my Lord. I mean, just think about it. If it were not for sickness, we would not have the testimony of how the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead. Without sickness, we would not have the testimony of how the Lord healed a man who had been sick for 38 years. Without sickness, we wouldn't have the testimony of how the Lord turned Southern around in 2016. We had to go through something to appreciate what God can do. You had to have some empty pews to appreciate how God filled the pew. You had to go through some silly stuff to appreciate how God can bring decency and order out of chaos. I don't know about y'all, but I trust God will finish the good work that he has begun. I believe God has invested too much just to leave us now. I believe God will take care of his own. Anybody here believe that God is still in this thing? Just look over and tell your neighbor, our sickness is not unto death. Our sickness is not unto death. God is still able. I said God is still able to turn it around. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not yet into the heart, into the imagination, what God has prepared. I don't know about y'all, but I still trust God. I still believe God. All of my hope is built on Jesus. I just believe he loves us enough. I just believe he's invested enough. I just believe he's promised too much to leave us now. Can anybody join me in standing on the promise of my Lord? He promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. He promised, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Anybody here know that God cannot lie? God is a promise keeper. Help me say yes, 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 yes. I thank God. I thank God that our sickness cannot be denied. The haters always want you to see what's wrong, but the preacher came by to tell you our sickness is not unto death. God is still in this thing. And what I love about God is
He loves me enough to look past the flaws in our life. If my only hope was I got to get myself together and then the Lord is going to fix me, I would just have to drop the mic, because I desire to do good, but evil is always present. If my hope was that Southern is just going to wake up and have this grand revival and everybody's going to line up and do right, I would drop the mic, leave depressed. But what I love about this text, in both occasions, the reason the sick man got healed was not because the sick man did right. It was because God loved him enough to look past what was wrong. Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" This man go and explain how I can't get in the water. And the Lord said, "Poor baby, bless his heart. Let me just bless him anyhow." Yes. Lazarus died on the Lord, but the Lord raised him from the dead. I thank God sometime God looked past our fault and bless us for his name's sake. That's what I'm counting on. That's what I'm banking on. I'm praying that the Lord would bless us because he loves us enough. I'm praying that the Lord would honor the faithfulness of a few, because I just believe, I might be wrong, y'all might be fooling me, but I think I got a few righteous people in here. I think I got a few people that's praying for the well-being of the church. Do I have a few people that's trying to do right? I know everybody's not doing right, and some people are being pressured now because you feel like you got to act like you're doing right. But I got at least a few real people that's saying, "Lord, I got to say thank you with not just my lips, but I got to say thank you with my life." Anybody look back over your life and see how good the Lord has been to you and know that you owe the Lord your service? Anybody know you don't deserve to be here? Anybody know that if justice had its way, you would have been dead a long time ago? But by the grace and mercy of the Lord, we'd have made it into 2016. And if I was you, I would join this crew that's trying to give our very best to the Lord and praying that that 10 would be enough for the Lord to hold back his wrath and breathe on us anyhow. I pray you have ears to hear the word of the Lord. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, would you come today? Thank you. My brother, my sister, if you know you need the Lord in your life, you know you need to get in church, would you come on right now?
How he's gonna do it, I don't know when he's gonna
the door is open.
I only know
if you know you need the Lord in your life,
he's gonna make a way for me.
You know you need to get yourself in church.
I know he's gonna do it.
Would you come right now? Would you come right now?
I don't know how.
The door is open.
How he's gonna do it. I don't know when. Ooh. When he's gonna fix it. I only know. Yeah. He's gonna make a
victory.
He never told me how he's gonna
do it.
He never said a win.
Ooh.
When he was gonna
fix it.
know we will.
Do it.
I know we can.
Do it.
I know we will.
Do it.
He said he would.
Do it.
And fix it.
Fix it.
Fix it.
Fix it.
I know we will.
Fix it.
I know we can.
Fix it.
Won't he do it?
Fix it.
I know we will.
Fix it.
I know we will.
Fix it.
I know we will do it. Help me sing
victory.
Oh, bless the Lord.